He says he knows how things are corrupted and who are the corruptors. I fancy that he must be a wise man, and seeing that I am the reverse of a wise man, he has found me out and is going to accuse me of corrupting his young friends. And of this, our mother's estate is to be the judge. Of all our fact that supposing the circumstance to be as you state, you are not afraid that you too may be doing an impious thing and bringing an action against your father.
The best of youth of life, and that which distinguishes him, Socrates, from other men, is his exact knowledge of all such matters. What should I be good for without it?
Rare friend, I think that I cannot do better than be your disciple. Then before the trial of Melitus comes on, I shall challenge you and say that I have always had a great interest in religious questions. And now, as he charges me with rash imaginations and innovations in religion, I have become your disciple. You, Melitus, I shall say to him, acknowledge your throne to be a great theologian, and sound his opinions. And if you approve of him, you ought to approve of me, and not to have me in court. But if you disapprove, you should begin by indicting him who is my teacher, and who will be the ruin, not of the young, but of the old. That is to say, of myself, whom he instructs, and of his old father, whom he admonishes and chastises. And if Melitus refuses to listen to me, but will go on, and will not shift the indictment from me to you, I cannot do better than repeat his challenge in the court.
Yes, indeed, Socrates. And if he attempts to indict me, I am mistaken if I do not find a flaw in him. The court shall have a great deal more to say to him than to me.
And I, my dear friend, knowing this and desirous of becoming your disciple, for I observe that no one appears to notice you, not even this Melitus, but his sharp eyes have found me out at once that he has indicted me for impiety. And therefore, I adjure you to tell me the nature of piety and impiety, which you said you know so well, and of murder, and of other offenses against the Melitus. What are they? Is not piety in every action always the same? And impiety again, is it not always the opposite of piety, and also the same with itself having as impiety one notion which includes whatever is impious?
To be sure, Socrates.
And what is piety, and what is impiety?
Piety is doing as I am doing. That is to say, prosecuting anyone who is guilty of murder, sacrilege, or any similar crime, whether he be your father or mother, or whoever he may be, that makes no difference. And not to prosecute them is impiety. And please do consider, Socrates, what a noble proof I will give you of the truth of my words, a proof which I have already given to others. Of the principle, I mean, that the impious, whoever he may be, ought not to go unpunished. For to not have regard to Zeus as the best and most righteous of the gods, and yet they admit that he bound his father, Cronos, because he wickedly devoured his sons, and that he too had punished his own father, sense.
True, science.
No doubt, Euthyphro. But you would admit that there are many other planets out.
There are.
Remember that I did not ask you to give me 2 or 3 examples of piety, but to explain the general idea which makes all pious things to be pious. Do you not recollect that there was one idea which made the impious impious and the pious pious? Therefore, I will suggest that these have been for certain either God or man will ever venture to say that the door of injustice is not to be punched.
That is true, Socrates, in the main.
But the joint issue about the particulars, gods and men alike, and if they dispute at all, they dispute about some act which is called in question, and which by some was affirmed to be just, by others to be unjust.
Is that not true?
Quite true. Well then, my dear friend Euthyphro, do tell me, for my instruction and information, what proof have you that in the opinion of all the gods, a servant who is guilty of murder and is put in chains by the master of the dead man and dies because he is put in chains before he who has bound him can learn from the interpreters of the gods what he ought to do with him dies unjustly? Such a one, a son, ought to proceed against his father and accuse him of murder. How would you show that all the gods absolutely agree in approving of this act? Prove to me that they do, and I will applaud your wisdom as long as I live.
It would be a difficult task.
holy is beloved by God because it is holy, or holy because it is beloved of the gods?
I do not understand your meaning, Socrates.
I will endeavor to explain. We speak of carrying and we speak of being carried, leading and being led, seeing and being seen. You know that in all such cases there is a difference, but you know also in what the difference lies.
I think that I understand.
And it's not that which is beloved distinct from that which loves. Well, then now tell me, is that which is carried in the state of carrying because it is carried or for some other reason?
No, that is the reason.
And the same is true of what is led and of what is seen?
True.
And a thing is not seen because it is visible, but conversely, visible because it is seen, nor is a thing led because it is in the state of being led, or carried because it is in the state of being carried. But the converse of this, and now I think, Euthyphro, that my meaning will be intelligible, and my meaning is that any state of action or passion implies previous action or passion. It does not become because it is becoming, but it is in a state of becoming because it becomes. Neither does it suffer because it is in a state of suffering, but it is in a state of suffering because it suffers. Do you not agree?
Yes.
Is not that which is loved in some state either of becoming or suffering?
Yes.
And the same holds as in the previous instances. The state of being loved follows the act of being loved, not the act, the state.
Certainly.
And what do you say of piety, Euthyphro? Is not piety, according to your definition, loved by all the gods?
Yes.
Because it is pious or holy,
or
past, but that which is just, only in part and not all parts.
Good saying, you, Socrates.
And yet I know that you are a much wiser man than I am, as you are younger. But as I was saying, dear friend, the abundance of your wisdom makes you lazy. Please to exert yourself, for there is no real Socrates, that was not the story.